This show is part of the Modern Witch Podcast Network. For more shows like it, visit www.modernwitch.com.
Now's the time. Ours is the hour. Ours is the magic. Ours is the power.
Hammer goi before hammer goi. 3 times 3. Ring a ring a widdershins, looping lightly widdershins, kilted coats and fleeing hair, 3 times 3. Come or go ye before, come or go ye, if you will not go before, come let me ring a ring a widdershins, whirl and skirl and widdershins, and they'll take the hindermost whoe'er she be.
What is that? It's a little bag made from the skin of a toad.
Does it matter? She's tampering in dark sided stuff!
Yet in our own supremely rational time, there has been a dramatic rebirth of the ancient arts of witchcraft.
You're listening to the Modern Witch Podcast with Devin Hunter.
Welcome back to another episode of the Modern Witch Podcast. I'm your host, Devin Hunter. It is season 10. I still cannot believe it. I'm probably going to all of season 10. I'm just going to be like, it's season 10. It's because it's a big deal for me. And it's also a big deal that so many of you are just tuning in and listening. And to see the numbers go up, it's like just amazing. So thank you. Thank you for telling your friends. Thank you for giving a crap. You are just amazing people. Okay, so on today's episode, we have the amazing Gabriella Hurstick. And Gabriella Hurstick's been around for a minute, and she's been somebody I've wanted on the show forever. And I've kept an eye on her for a long time, and mostly because she was somebody in the witchcraft writing world who was writing for venues outside of like Witches and Pagans magazine and the normal kind of places that you usually see witches writing. No, Gabby was writing for High Times magazine, and I think she had her own blog that was pretty amazing. She's actually one of our new columnists over at the Modern Witch blog, so I hope that you check that out. That should go live in just a few weeks. I'm really super excited. But she's going to be one of our writers. I'm very excited to have her there and have her on the show today. Okay, so Gabby wrote, Gabriella wrote A Modern Guide to the Ancient Craft, Inner Witch, A Modern Guide to the Ancient Craft. She wrote Craft, How to Be a Modern Witch. She wrote Bewitching the Elements, A Guide to Empowering Yourself Through Earth, Air, Fire, Water, and Spirit. She wrote a book called Embody Your Magic, A Guided Journal, which is actually really, really cool. We kept it in the store, and I definitely was telling like the new witches and the people who were wanting not the super scary stuff, which, you know, you come into a witchcraft shop, you want something that's gonna, like we were talking about on the last episode, you want something that's kind of like purple, or you want something that's like black. So the people who were more into the purple, I would definitely hand them Embody Your Magic as a journal to help get them going and get them started. Lots of cool writing prompts. It's definitely one of those books that you should give your beginner witch friends, I would say, especially right in the beginning. Now, her latest book is unlike anything she's written. It actually feels like it is her released, unleashed, uncollared, unfiltered in a lot of ways, energetically, and it's really badass. Her latest book is called Sacred Sex, The Magic and the Path of the Divine Erotic. Holy crap. Amazing, amazing. So I just was like, well, we have to get you on the show. And apparently she was down with that. So she came on, and that's what you're listening to now. It's a fantastic episode. So stay tuned. We've got a good one today for sure. I do also want to remind you that tickets are available now for the official Witches Sabbath, so definitely go to modernwitch.com, check out. We've got some really amazing teachers, including Sarita D'Est is there. I'm teaching this year. I'm doing a whole thing on correspondences, and it's going to be amazing. We're going to have an amazing time. I will have more about that to come in the next few episodes. But for now, I want to focus on Gabriela Hurstick, because Gabriela Hurstick. All right, so stay tuned. After the break, we will be right back with Gabriela Hurstick. And I'm just going to keep saying, Gabby Hurstick, Gabriela Hurstick, Gabriela Hurstick. She's amazing. Stay tuned. I wanted to have you on forever because I had a crush on you, like, as an author. I had a crush on you. In which, I have this crush on you that preceded me getting to meet you via the Twitters. And you're one of my favorite Twitter witches. So I just love and adore you. Gabriela Hurstick, I love and adore you. And I'm just, it's fucking awesome to have you here. So fucking welcome. Welcome to the Modern Witch Podcast.
I'm blushing. I'm blushing through the camera. I'm blushing in my heart. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I feel the same way about you. Your work is so important and seminal and inspiring.
Oh, well, it's going to be a love fest, guys. I can already tell. One of the things that I think drew me to your work in general was that you, first of all, you're quirky and you're different and you're odd. And I have always felt like an outsider even amongst other occult authors, I always feel like I'm a little bit of an outsider or a lot of an outsider. And it took me a long time to just own it and just be like, okay, that's fine. This is my thing. And I see you out there just fucking being different and just fucking doing your thing. And your authenticity is infectious. And so I want to start with that. Where does that come from? Because a lot of us talk a talk. You fucking walk this walk.
Thank you.
Where does that drive for authenticity, like, come from with you?
Thank you so much. Okay, honestly, thank you. I appreciate that a lot. So I'm very Aquarius. I have my sun conjunct Venus and my Mars all in Aquarius. And I remember being in probably like elementary school and realizing that I felt different. And I realized I could either spend my life trying to be the same as everybody else and be miserable, or I could just do my own thing and be my own person. And I decided on the latter. And it's definitely been a journey, but I feel like, so I'm an Aquarius and I'm also a twin, and I feel like having like a twin, and Alex and I, my sister who I love, she's my bestie now. We were compared a lot growing up. We looked really different. We're fraternal. People would always like compare us to one another. So I think that between those things of just like naturally having that kind of drive to be my own person in my birth chart and being compared to this other person, I really have just always been committed to being myself. My dad is a rabbi. My mom is from the Jewish community in Mexico City. And I spent from 10 to the age of 22 in the Deep South. So I always felt othered. My sister and I joke that we felt too Mexican for the Jews and too Jewish for the Mexicans. Like, there's this kind of liminality there. And I've known I was a witch since I was like 12. So honestly, like, I feel like I didn't really have a choice. I've just always being my own person, and honoring that is something that's really, really important to me. My dad's parents were in the concentration camps. I have a lot of family in the Holocaust. So for me, like, the life that I have, the freedom I have to live this life is a gift. And I have just always been really inspired to just be myself. It's not really something that I think about. I just really relish in, you know, like, living what feels right for me. And it's such a gift when people tell me that it inspires them to be themselves. A big part of that for me is self-expression, whether it's through glamour and beauty or like my sexual expression or just sharing about my magical practice. But I've definitely also felt like othered in the industries that I work in. Like, I've definitely felt like too sexual for the occult community sometimes, or like not academic enough, or like in, like, you know, kind of just being in that liminal space. But that kind of it's just much more fun to just be yourself and not give a fuck what other people think. Honestly, when I was in high school, I was really into this metalcore band that had, they were like this like Guido, they call themselves Guido Core. They were like this like metalcore band from Canada with like Italians in them called Abandoned Ships. I still fucking love them. They're not a band anymore, but they have this saying that like they, one of their albums is called Giving, and Giving means not giving a fuck. And when I was like 17, 18 and listening to this band screaming about not giving a fuck, I was like, you know what? I don't want to give a fuck. I don't give a fuck about what other people think of me. And like, it's so cheesy, but like that really just helped me say fuck it. And I shaved off half my hair. I started dressing how I wanted to dress and went to college in South Carolina, decided I was going to pretend I was in New York and just wear what I wanted to wear and be who I wanted to be. And yeah, it served me really well. And I think that, you know, there's a reason that one of the maxims of magic is know thyself, because that's part of the great work, is recognizing who you are and like living that. And it's something I'm really grateful for. I can't imagine like wanting to be anybody else or trying to be anybody else. It's just a waste of time and space, honestly.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I, God, like so much what you just said resonated on like multiple levels. And I love it because it means that there's like this shared kind of thing that goes on. People don't know, you know, they don't know what we got to do before we can write that book, or even just to get to the point where you finish that book, you know?
Yeah.
And I think our background stories, you know, for me, I look at myself as like this really fluid person when it comes to my creativity. And my spirituality, my occultism, is very much driven off of this. Like, initially, it was all about survival and trying to get through, like, weird, shitty times as a young person. And then it was about, like, oh, how do I create stability in my life? And that became the goal. And that was this beautiful thing. And then it was, how do I connect deeper to the divine?
Yeah.
And, you know, and so it unfolds, and it's very fluid. And whatever I'm into, it changes from, you know, couple year to couple year. And so my identity, each time I kind of go through a new creative phase, I'm faced with this reconciliation, right? Where I have to go, oh, you know, I'm learning this new thing about myself, and now I have to integrate that into the system that already exists. And that is where I find I don't want to say struggle for authenticity, but I think I struggle to confront that there's a new type, a new layer or a new level of authenticity that is required. And what that really means. Because as somebody, like, I'm a Sag with Pisces moon and Cancer rising. I am super squishy. And so I'm, like, very sensitive about everything. But this, like, the Sag in me is just, like, fuck everything. Do what you want to do. Yeah. Go be whatever. But then these other very big parts of me are very concerned about not being loved and not being appreciated and, you know, all of those things. And I've gotten over the need for other people's approval, thankfully. Like, that happened. Thank you, Saturn return.
Woo-hoo!
But it's the reconciling of the things. It's like realizing, like, oh, I wasn't, like, I was sexually assaulted as a young person. Thought I was over it. I wasn't over it. Like, I'm in my mid-30s, and I'm like, actually, this thing still kind of bothers me about blah, 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 blah. And so I you know, just kind of realizing that healing and that empowerment is a process.
Yeah.
That was a big thing for me. My meditation just 2 weeks ago, I had a spirit come to me and say, this is your journey. Like, why are you waiting to start your new journey? You never stopped the journey you were on.
Yeah.
Holy shit. You know, big moment. The beautiful stuff. So what's your process in discovering who you are?
Oh, that's such a great question. Well, I love that you pointed out that, you know, like, it's evolving, it's fluid. And I think that's like such a beautiful part of the spiral dance, that we kind of like, we grow from things and we come back to them and we realize there's another layer to peel, but we're a little bit more, you know, we've grown since the last time we've been in the same place, and it's never ending, you know, like the healing doesn't stop. It's not like an end point. It's a journey. But for me, my process, I'm really committed to my daily practice. I've been meditating I still feel like I fucking suck at meditation. Am I a bimbo? Am I an air sign? Do I have ADHD? Who knows? But definitely like that commitment to doing my thing every day, meditating, doing my lesser banishing ritual, like that, I didn't realize how much it was helping me and changing me until we started the pandemic. And I realized that it was such an integral part of like my well-being. But it's since I've started writing books, I started writing books maybe 5 or so years ago, maybe a little bit more. I feel like whatever I write about, especially since I started writing the book I'm working on now, I stopped this book to write Secret Sex, but I'm working on a book called Goddess Energy about the divine feminine. And it's like, I feel like when I start writing a book or like researching, it becomes this like container that kind of holds my whole life. Like everything I do and everything that I create or everything that inspires me or the books I read or the podcasts I listen to are all like in some way like related to this thing. And that has been really beautiful because it's kind of shifted my life into this like devotional to the goddess or to sacred sexuality or to like whatever it is I'm working on. But yeah, my process is that it's allowing myself to be immersed in whatever I'm experiencing. And as far as like healing, because yeah, for me, witchcraft and magic, more so like I would say just like the daily practice and the ritual of coming back to myself, more so than like spells and rituals for certain things necessarily, are like, that is the process in which I'm able to be with myself. I'm able to do the cord cuttings. I'm able to see what needs to be healed and able to recognize that maybe they're still a little bit farther in the journey than I thought. And I do consider like my like going to therapy, like cognitive behavioral therapy, part of that practice, like all of those things alongside like, you know, like going to physical therapy for stuff or like figuring out like my health stuff, like that to me is part of the spiritual practice. This year, or I've been working with this, like, I guess, container system kind of framework is probably the best word, inspired by the mythos of Inanna, as like a way to kind of think of the different parts of myself, which correlates a lot to like the lower, middle, and higher self, of like my heavenly angelic self, Inanna's queen of the heavens, the earth part of that, because she's queen of heaven and earth. I kind of think of my body as the earth. And then my underworld self is like the shadow self, like my sexuality, kinkiness. And like, I've really been working this year because I've worked a lot with the angelic self. I've worked a lot with my spiritual practice. I've worked a lot with my shadow and my sexuality and that. And like, this year, I'm really committed to the earth piece of that and to healing my body. And I made that commitment to myself on the winter solstice. And then I got COVID like literally 4 days later. And I've had like it's been the most intense just like year of doctor appointments and like figuring my shit out. And like, even though that might be, you know, like I'm not going to the doctor and doing a fucking lesser banishing ritual, the pentagram, like I'm still going with this commitment and this intention of healing my body, of being there for myself. And like, to me, that is part of witchcraft. That is part of my magic. So I think like that kind of daily practice and that self-awareness and that checking in with myself and my heart, alongside the devotion I have to the deities that I'm pledged to, has like, I think that's my process. And allowing myself to find, like you mentioned, this fluidity between, you know, this devotion to this ritual every fucking day, and also to like living my life. Cause when COVID first started, like I was really deep in my studies. Like I was meditating twice a day, and like, cause I didn't really, what else could I fucking do besides go on walks? Like I was at home all the time and I was writing. But now it's this integration of taking what I've been learning and taking the healing and taking this, you know, devotion to self and to goddess, like out into the world and being a human again. So I hope that answered the question. I kind of went all over the place, but for the most part, that's perfectly. My process.
No, perfectly. I know. First of all, you are not, I mean, I love bantering back about being silly sluts together and all the things, but the truth, like, follow us on Twitter for everyone. Seriously, it's fun. But you're not a bimbo in that sense that like a bimbo has no fucking clue what they're talking about. And I just want you to know, like, I love that you have obviously this take on sexuality and you own your sexuality especially in a world where it's being so repressed and it's such a kind of situation for us. So I love, I like totally love that about you. But I also think, I'm just going to say it, that you probably don't realize how actually deeply intelligent you are and how you have, like, I love my scholarly witches. Matt, my husband, I can't say him, my husband is, he's very scholarly. Like you could ask him a question. He could rattle off 5 books that were written in 1800, but like, he's ridiculous. Storm is a lot like that. I am a feel my way through shit, psychic guide, you know, kind of witch. And I learned a lot, and I went and I studied traditions so that I could have, like, you know, authority, you know, and all that stuff. And at the end, none of it mattered because the magic the spirits taught me was actually the most effective.
Yeah.
And so that was it. So, you know, so, but in that, I can say, you know, I studied with some really badass people. I'm married to a really badass guy. My partners are really badass. They're very intelligent. They're very, very smart. You are right up there with them. The way that you articulate, the way that you are verbalizing your experience, I think is wonderful. So I don't want you to like take yourself. I don't want you to put yourself in a underestimate your own glory, because I think you're fucking badass.
Thank you. Oh,
I like listening to you. Like, no, seriously though, it's hard. Like I was just talking to somebody who's coming onto the network about their own kind of just experience with other occultists and how it can be really uncomfortable. And my whole thing is like, you know what? Listen, we are the ones that, like, the ones who are writing, the ones who are podcasting, whatever, we're the ones having a discussion that we inherited from people who are dead now. Like, that's it. And someone's gonna get it when we're dead. And so we're just lucky to be part of this discussion. And part of that, our new era is really talking about the way things feel and feeling our way through these experiences, where before they had to be very, you know, structured and blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Now we don't have to be that way. And I think to really grasp the intensity of the work that we do, we have to feel it out.
Yeah.
You know, or else you're not going to. So I think you're amazing. And I think you're doing great work.
Yeah. That's, to me, like, that feeling, like, that's something that is so, like, you really, I feel what you're saying so deeply. I have my moon in Scorpio, I have my Mercury in Pisces and Saturn in Pisces. Like, I might be Aquarius, but I'm very deeply emotional. And like, I'm also like, I walk the path of the goddess. Like, she is who I am in service to. And like, to me, the goddess is immanence. She is not logical. I've said it once, I'll say it again, put it on my grave. You cannot think your way to the goddess. You just can't. You can't think your way to her. You have to fucking feel your way to her. It has to be an embodied experience. And like, I love, I, you know, the past maybe 4 years, I've been studying the Western mysteries. I'm a student of Hermetic Kabbalah. I love it. It's really special to me. And I also recognize that at a certain point, like, all that brain stuff, like thinking of all the things, like trying to do the rose cross ritual, where you have to make this crazy, like, weird thing on the, like, I can't even do it without totally getting out of the feeling aspect of the magic. And for me, that, like, that feeling, that emotion, that, like, embodiment, that's what's magic to me. That's what's witchcraft to me. And like, that's one of the reasons, like, I love sex magic so much, or like, just like any form of embodiment practice where I'm moving and I'm feeling, like, yeah, I have the structure of the words and like the egregore of the ritual itself, and I'm doing these things. But like, if, like, I will never be a Thelemite, first off, because I don't ever want to follow like one person, and Crowley writing himself as like the master of his religion makes me feel weird. So I'm an armchair Thelemite or a Thelemite adjacent. And also, it's just like, when it's too much like logical written stuff, I just am out of it. I can't do it. Like, it's just, I'm like, I would go back to school if I wanted to do that shit. I'd rather just be like a fucking anarchist academic, study what I want to study, and then like, yeah, feel my way through the magic, connect to my heart, like, pray, do rituals of dance and kinky shit. Like, for me, that feels so much more in alignment with the divine feminine. And it's just, yeah, it's like, you know, I feel like that to me is kind of what distinguishes like occultists from witches in one way, is like, the occultist is so like brainy, and to me, witchcraft is so connected to the body and the earth and the feral and the heart and the soul and all of that, that it's like, you can't think your way to that. You just can't.
No, I like that. That's a really wonderful way of actually thinking about it. I'm trying very hard in my own like little world over here to be like, you know what, occultism is, because I love other aspects of the occult that aren't witchcraft. Because I feel like mm-hmm. I'm by default a witch in the way that like by default I'm just a big mo. And so I feel like I can't not suck dick. I can't not cast a spell. Like it's the same kind of like I'm just who I am. But that being said, there are parts of the occult that I love and adore, but mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of like witches would consider them to be part of the occult because of the way, like when you think of occult, you think of like a book and you mm-hmm. think of like old white men walking mm-hmm. around in robes and like crazy shit. And I'm like, that's not my jam. And it's never been, I dabble in what I can and figure things out and blah, blah, blah. Not my bag. I think it's cool. I think the drag is amazing, but you know, for me, I need something else. I need a different mm-hmm. Connection point. Yeah. And I think because I am such a squishy guy that, and I've like always been a hardcore goddess devoted person. Yeah. Like I used to own the domain goddessguy.com. That was me. I love, you know, so I totally feel what you're saying and I get it. But I will say I'm trying to broaden the idea of occultism.
Yeah.
Because I think people need like Scientology, technically occultism.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, L. Ron Hubbard was fucking doing magic with Jack Parsons in the desert.
Yeah. Their whole like Thelema. Their whole like first intro system mm-hmm. is basically just Thelema flipped into self-help. That's it. Yep. So, I mean, there's a lot of like, if we really wanted to talk about, and I just think occultism, I mean, it is occultist or occult means mystery, obvi.
Yeah.
But that's I want to tell people over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. The mystery is what you feel your way through. The mystery is what you experience. The mystery is not what you read or something you're going to get in a book because all any of that stuff can do is create a mental construct, if you will, right? A little pond, but you still have to go swimming in the pond to figure out what the hell the mystery actually is. Yeah. Right? And I think we get caught up on stupid things that are reinforced by stupid behavior, and it is very asinine and ignorant and doesn't let people in to experience certain things. So I love that you are adjacent to Thelema. I feel that so hardcore because I've come very, very close. I've been offered several spots, especially as soon as you get like a book out, people are like, do you want an initiation? So, you know, that kind of shit happened. And I'm like, no. Like I'm cool reading having my own interpretation and asking my friends when I need help for something, but I'm with you on that. I'm with you.
Yeah. I'm definitely an occultist. Don't get me wrong. Like I definitely am. Yeah. Like I claim that word and I'm an air sign. I love books. Books are one of my happy places. Any given Saturday, you can find me at a coffee shop with my silly little coffee and my silly little book vibing out. And I love that the way that that is its own transmission. And I also think it's like anything going too far in any direction is dangerous. Right. I feel like I was going to say something and I forgot, but I don't remember. It'll come back.
Do you know who Michelle Boulanger is?
Yes.
Okay. So Michelle and I were talking and they had said something that like just rocked my world, which was that in the like 80s and 90s, if you were coming to witchcraft looking for, you know, from a place of like feeling things out and you were having psychic experiences, that you weren't really appreciated. You were kind of made to feel other. Mm. And a lot of those people ended up creating what became like the vampire scene. And so like Michelle's a vampire.
Yeah. But
the root of that is really comes from them having just a different take on what occult experiences they were having. And then being pushed out because it wasn't, you know, Wiccan enough, basically.
Yeah.
And so, and as a result, you get, you know, the vampire community that sprang up in the 80s and 90s and still exists today. And so so to me, that always sticks with me with that idea. And that's what I was trying to get out of, like, no, like occultism, like we're really big and we push people into things because they're not this enough. And that's just like crap. So I don't even identify as pagan, like personally, I don't call myself pagan. I'm a humanist. That's my, if I have a religion, I say I'm a humanist. I'm an ordained minister as a spiritual humanist. Aww. But witchcraft is my life. Like, this, it's my lifestyle. I'm devoted to the goddess. Like, I've got all these things, but I think because occultism lets us do that. It lets us ask our own questions and find our own fucking answers. Right.
Yeah. And that's part of the knowing thyself too. Right. It's like, you can't come to occultism and also like come at it with this perspective of like, I'm going to do things like, there's one way to do it and this is the right way, or you're going to set yourself up for disappointment, failure, and being too hard on yourself, which so many of us are. Like, I think that's one of the things like that I really try to emphasize in my work is like, whether you're an occultist or a witch or a magician, whatever you want to use, I use all of those terms to describe myself. Honestly, like, your practice should feed into your life. It should use what's already inspiring you, what's already there. You shouldn't like have to change your life to fit into your craft. It should be something that naturally makes sense for you. And like, yeah, it's hard. And especially now, like, there's, you know, it's, I love social media and it's, you know, but there's always this kind of comparison thing going on and people are like, am I doing this right? Am I not? And it's just like, that's not the point. Like, there's no right or wrong in any of this. And if anybody tells you that there's only one way to do it, then they're fucking full of shit. Cause none of us know what we're doing. And like, none of us know what happened when we die. Like, we can think we do, but until we die, like, we're not going to know. So it's just a lot. Like, and I also, for myself, like, I love words and being able to describe my practice or like find labels for myself that feel irrelevant for myself is like very liberating. Obviously, like, you know, confining yourself to any one box can outgrow it quickly. But like the way that I have come to describe my practice is like, I practice ceremonial erotic witchcraft. Like, I practice ceremonial magic. I work within the context of Hermetic Kabbalah. I am a student of the Tree of Life. I use erotic energy to worship the goddess, and I also practice witchcraft. So like, for me, like, that's how I would describe it. But like, I've never met anybody else that would use that, which I kind of like. So I think that's also like, you don't have to be, like you said, you don't have to be one thing. You can be a pagan witch, or you can be a cultist and a witch, or you can be neither of those things or all of those things. And like, as soon as those labels start to feel like oppressive, or as soon as they start to feel limiting, just let it go. Cause it doesn't fucking matter. Like, what matters is your connection to your path, your connection to your magic. If it's making you a better person, and if it's making your life better, like, what's the point if witchcraft is not making you a more compassionate, connected, empathic person? Like, what else matters? Like, beyond that, like, whatever you can get, you know, it's like, that gets old, like, you know. So that's
no, absolutely. I'm 100%. Everybody last season on the show had to listen to me talk about like going through this whole, my father died, and going through this whole like journey of self-discovery, and you know, because suddenly you were faced with this thing that witchcraft doesn't train you to understand and process, really, like death and this concept. And I'm a medium. Like, I talk to dead people for you know, a living. And suddenly I'm in this space where death was like so close, and my connection to my father was always kind of weird, and now I had to redefine it. It was this whole thing. So I went off and studied Buddhism, and it was fantastic. I found so much peace. And I'm not a Buddhist. I can say that I'm a student of Dharma, I'm a student of the teachings of Dharma, but I found so much peace and fortitude, I think. And that was a big word, was fortitude, because I realized always going to have these things happening, right? This is the nature of life. You're going to suffer. You're going to run into people who are suffering, and you have, if you're empathetic in any way, shape, and form, you're going to feel, so you're going to suffer, as you know, just seeing them suffer. So going through this, you know, that period of my life, I'm so glad I went to the East, and I'm so glad that that it just happened to be that Buddhism, it was so open and so willing to, you know, Buddhists were willing to talk, and I was able to talk to some really incredible people who were very experienced, and it was wonderful. It was wonderful. And I'm trying to figure out, how can I bring this to people over here in my circle, right? Or in my group, because it's not anyway, it doesn't exist, right? And so, you know, you saying like, oh, you know, I have these words that I use to describe me that nobody else is using. I fucking love that. And I think that's the point. And I think if you, what I tell my students like advanced, like my advanced student, is the whole point of what we do is to go in and cultivate the unspeakable. And it isn't in a dark way. I mean that in a, the, you can't find words, right? You can't verbalize this knowing that you have, this connection that you have with a spirit or divinity or, or whatever. And so I feel that, and I felt that that challenge when I went in to study the Dharma teachings and try to apply those things to my life. And again, you know, being faced with that idea of kind of rediscovering yourself and reconciling things, really fantastic. So I get it. And I think I don't really care if I know witches are like, oh my God, Meredith, blah, blah. I don't give a fuck. I give no fucks. I give no fucks. I needed it. It makes me feel, I can sleep at night. I can sleep at night and I'm not crying and I'm not sad and I'm not looking at life in a nihilistic way anymore. So I'm happy. You know what I mean? Yeah. So fuck that. So I think when it, I think we just have this ridiculous limiting time capsule that we put on our witchcraft, and we stay in these phases that are meant to be in the past. They're not meant to be dug up and opened up, and you're not meant to eat the Cheetos that you had when you were, you know, 14 years old. Like, leave it in the fucking can, you know? So there's just, I just feel like what I love about your work and the things that you promote and the things that you are developing, it all centers around this idea that, like, from me as an observer, I see you on that journey of discovering, processing, and then the things that work and the things that you're finding empowering, bringing to your people, right? And that's what I love, because I feel, I know this process. I know how hard it is. I know how hard it is to do that and be accountable to a publisher and, you know, all of those things. And I, it's awesome. So I love that you're saying these things, because it's a good reminder for me as I embark on my own, you know, stuff. And I think everyone at home is also in a, because we've gone through so much. We've all gone through so much, right?
Oh my God.
And as we're reemerging, who are we now?
We got to meet ourselves where we are, and we don't have to be the same people we were. And like, first off, I love that you had that journey with Buddhism. That's so gorgeous. Last summer, I was taking some classes and like learning more about like the Dakinis, who are kind of like the divine feminine principle wisdom keepers in Buddhism, and connecting to them. And that's like, you know, that's one of the things I love so much about spirituality, is like, the more you learn about these different traditions, the more you see how we're all doing the kind of the same dance in our own ways, and ways that make sense for all of us. And one of the things I love about Buddhism is that, you know, after you do a practice, you dedicate it to the liberation of all sentient beings. And like, that's something that I've started to adopt in my witchcraft. Like, I'm doing this work for myself, but I'm doing it for the liberation of all sentient beings. And I'm so glad that it's something that's brought you like safety and comfort and support. Like, that's what spiritual practice is meant to do, you know, like since the beginning of time, to like change our circumstances, to bring us closer to each other, to bring us closer to the divine, ourselves. And thank you so much for seeing that about my work. Like, I never want to share things that don't feel resonant for me. And like, I totally get the being in the stage of evolution and feeling almost beholden to who you once were. That's something that I've like really been not struggling with, but definitely been processing, I guess is a better word. Like, when I started writing books, I was really young. I was approached to write my first book, and it was Inner Witch, which was Craft in the UK. And it's a very like introductory book on witchcraft. And the next book I had was a little bit more in depth with the elements. And like, I loved doing that. Like, I loved doing the Witchcraft 101 stuff. I started writing in this space like 8 years ago, maybe more non-professional, like on my own blog that I used to have. And like, I was writing for Hello Giggles and freelancing and writing before TikTok. So there was, or like social media was doing a ton of stuff. So like, I did a lot of the Witchcraft 101 stuff, and then I stopped liking writing about it. And I realized I love sharing and discussing and teaching and practicing magic that centers the divine feminine, that centers sexuality, that centers self-expression, and like the taboo and like kink. And like, I love doing that, but obviously like Instagram specifically is not very supportive of any kind of sluttery. Twitter kind of is, but TikTok definitely isn't. And I have definitely felt like, oh, well, you know, like, I feel it's almost like a guilt that I feel for like changing the direction of my work to be more aligned with who I am. And, you know, like I have to constantly remind myself that like I'm allowed to do what feels good. And like the things that resonate with me that I have changed who I am, like at a heart level, at like a foundational level, are what is going to reach who it needs to reach. And I'm like, even if I don't get as many likes, even if I don't have as many followers, I'm like, I know that the work that I'm doing that feels important for me and sacred to me is going to reach who it's meant to reach. And like that, like giving myself that permission and allowing myself to like change has been really beautiful. I was really stoned a few weeks ago, and I unashamedly, it's not even a word, I without shame love Evanescence. Amy Lee, we love our goth icon. And I was like listening to them, and there's this one lyric that's what is it? It's, if you love me, let go of me. I won't be held down by who I used to be. And I was just like screaming that. I was like, wow, like this is it. Like I don't have to be the same person I was. And in fact, like if you're practicing magic right, you're gonna constantly be changing. You're gonna constantly be evolving. It's like the tarot, like you're going to start as a fool and go all the way through the world and come back and start the same journey, but as the magician. And then you're going to go through and start it as the high priestess. And it's like, that's part of it. It's, you know, like the great work is a work of alchemy. And that means this transformation. And it's like, you know, we live in a culture that very much doesn't want that. They don't want self-knowledge. They don't want us to be sovereign. They don't want us to like know ourselves enough to know our needs. But as life changes, and as our experience of life changes, as we go through pandemics and wars and all these crazy things, like we're gonna shape shift, we're gonna evolve. And like, yeah, I think that if our work stays the same, then it's like, what are you doing? It shouldn't, you know, but it's hard to remember.
Hey everyone, thanks for downloading this episode of the Modern Witch Podcast. I just want to say thank you so much to my Patreon subscribers, to the people who are buying merch. Everyone involved in that type of monetary exchange is helping Modern Witch thrive right now. You're helping us produce new shows. You're covering the cost of making new shows and bringing them on so that we can highlight new voices in the community. You are making sure that there are people who otherwise wouldn't have a platform are getting a platform. And it's all just really freaking cool. So if you aren't already part of the Patreon, if you aren't already getting one of our subscription boxes where you can get crystals and plants and all kinds of cool things delivered to you every month, you totally should go to modernwitch.com and find out more about that. And again, we have really great merch. I mean, some really fantastic merch. And it's not just stuff that has like our logo on it. I mean, sure, that exists and you'll look fabulous in it. But there's also plus size dresses. There are all kinds of really beautiful occult and witchy designs, some fun designs for Halloween. It's pretty loaded. So go over to modernwitch.com. There are so many ways that you can support us. And don't forget, a lot of our hosts on the network also have their own Patreons, and they also have their own websites. So make sure that you also click on their links on our website and go check them out as well. Thank you so much for downloading. Thank you so much for your support. And don't forget to like and subscribe on whatever podcasting platform you grab your podcast from. Make sure that you give us 5 stars, please. That really does help. It helps other people know that we are a high quality show, and that we are producing good content that they might want to listen to as well. So hit that 5 stars, hit that subscribe button, and we will be in your ears as often as we possibly can. All right, back to the show. I will say that, so last year I ended up just like realizing there was a lot of white noise on social media. Like, mm-hmm. And it's even worse this year, but like there was so much white noise. Everybody was posting like 101 memes. Like it was, every time I opened up any social media, there were like 13 posts about the properties of rosemary and quartz. And I just had this moment where and people were telling me, cause you know, I'm going to coaches and people who were like social media experts. And they're like, oh, well, yeah, this is what you do if you want to get followers. And I had this moment where I was like, I can't do that. Yeah. I'm so sorry. I know. And because I refuse to create something that I'm not going to get paid for that's going to drain my soul. Like, yeah. I'm just like, that's where I'm at with, yeah, it. I'm like, I'm not doing it. Like, yeah, if I was getting paid or whatever, then it'd be a job, it'd be different. I could have a different relationship to it. you know, as a designer, that's happened before, whatever. But when it's social media and it's me showing people who I am, a discussion about quartz is not something I want to have. Like, I have this crystal book coming out and I'm already like, I'm not doing it the way that everybody else has done it. Like, and it's not offense to anybody else. It's just oversaturation. And I don't want to be like everybody else. And my take on stuff is not like everybody else. Like, I have a very witchy take on crystals that isn't super love and light. Like, and that's my, and it's great and fantastic, you know? So I totally see that in your stuff where it's this, you're going to do what you're going to do. You're not going to cater to an audience that probably isn't even interested. I mean, I could see like a 101 audience being interested in your first two books, but especially with this last book that just came out, like, holy shit, like that is not for, you know what I mean? Like that is for somebody who's definitely like, no, I need to feel this and own this and love this and be this. And so it's cool to see your progression as an author and to see you, honest, I can see you're like, nope, I am doing me. This is me. Yeah. This is it. This is what you get. You want it, come get it. If you don't, go away. And that's just who you are. And it's refreshing. And I'm constantly like telling people like, oh, check out what Gabby's like doing. Gabby's doing amazing shit over there. You're seriously, it's really fucking cool. And especially because right now we live in a world where sexuality is under attack. And I mean, it was bad when we were kids, and then it seemed to like get better for a minute, just a minute. And now here we are again. And not just the attacks on reproductive health and all of those things. I mean, it goes beyond that. It goes into putting women in their place in the home and turning them into, you know, basically baby factories. And that's your job. And trans people are just grooming children to molest them. And horrible attacks on really what to me is, I mean, yeah, sex is adult. Like, let's just say sex is an adult topic. When we get into like the nitty gritty stuff, like, you know, I understand that, but it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's so, I've been in a bad sexual, more than one bad sexual situation. And I've been in some incredibly amazing sexual situation. And that were pure and innocent and sweet and beautiful. And so but that's not like the work that I talk about. That's not the person I am, as you know, with the world. But it's who you are. And so I feel like you've got, like, not only are you talking about it, but you're talking about it as somebody with a vagina. And God forbid we have somebody with a vagina talking about sex and liking sex. So what is that like? Like, can we talk about that? Just being not just that authentic self, but going out and talking about the things that you are in a very public way and being unashamed of loving the way it feels. What is this like? Because this is some powerful shit. Like, it really truly is. No one else is doing this, mind you. They aren't.
It's definitely weird. Like, I mean, again, like, one of the things that's really important to me is just being honest with who I am, and I don't want to fucking hide who I am. Like, there is, believe me, here's the thing, like, I have a Scorpio moon, I have a Scorpio stellium. I'm very open with like who I am, and what you're seeing is authentic and in alignment with my truth, but you're not seeing everything. There is definitely a lot of stuff I keep secret, and I like it that way. So you know, like, just throwing that out there so people don't get it wrong and think I'm like a fucking transparent curtain. No, there's stuff hidden. But it's definitely weird. Like, Roe versus Wade was overturned, like officially overturned, like a couple of weeks before my book came out, before Sacred Sex came out. And I just was like, you know, it was horrible. I mean, I live in LA. I'm really grateful and lucky, but like, I grew up in the Deep South. I still have friends there. Like, it, you know, it definitely impacted me, but it made me really thankful to be able to write about this stuff and speak about this stuff and lead classes about this stuff. Cause it's like what, you know, the conservatives want, whatever, like it's nuanced, but like, they want us disconnected from our bodies. They want to control us. And like, one of the things that I'm really passionate about when it comes to talking about sexuality and sacred sexuality, or an intentionally sacred relationship with your sexuality, the decision to make it sacred, honoring it as something that's important to you, that's all you need to make it sacred, is that it is yours. It does not belong to anybody else. It does not have to do with anybody else if you don't want it to. And like that connection to your sexual self is like, to me right now, so important, because you can't get yourself pregnant. You can't give your, I mean, you could keep giving yourself STDs if you're like using sex toys and not cleaning them. But for the most part, like you are a very safe partner to yourself. And having that connection to yourself when people are trying to take it away is so important. And I feel just really grateful to be able to have written that book, but it's definitely weird. I mean, I have like a whole wall of, you know, kinky shit in my room, and it's just where the light, like when I take selfies, it's behind me, because it's just how the light is in my room. And like, definitely have, you know, like weird experiences on dating apps and shit. But I think at this point in my life, like it's less, because I live in LA and because like I'm part of like the, you know, kink scene here and witch scene here. And like, you know, like I'm very, my self-expression is very connected to my sexuality. Like it is kind of, it's a way that I embody that in myself. So people kind of like, I feel like you can like look at me and tell that like I'm not like a vanilla bitch, which is great. I love that for me. But like, I think what's been weirder as far as like actually like dating and talking about sex is just like not apologizing for my success in general, which is something that like as a vagina, I definitely like somebody with as a vagina, you know, is definitely like taught to kind of like, you know, be like, make myself smaller.
You have to diminish yourself. Yeah. Don't take up space. Don't talk. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I think that there's such an obsession with skinniness in our culture, with women being so small. It's like, you want to be as little as possible and not have a voice. And, you know, like I've just gotten to that point where I'm like, fuck it. If somebody's like threatened by me, that's not my fucking fault. And like, yeah, I think that, you know, like my relationship to sexuality's evolved a lot. Like I did not do anything until I was 18. Like I like was just like a late bloomer. And then I just like went headfirst into doing crazy shit. But, claiming like just even just saying like, I'm somebody who loves sex is so like loaded in this culture. And like, I am obsessed with Vivian Westwood. She's why I moved to LA. She's the godmother of like the punk aesthetic. She dressed the Sex Pistols. She's a legendary fashion designer who uses the runway to get across her political messages. And like one of the things that she really taught me that I've been remembering once again is the power of shock. Is a power of shock value and the power of shocking people into like awareness and awakening. So honestly, like when I tweet about my slutty shit or when I'm like wearing something that's really slutty or when I'm talking about sex, it's like part of it is to remind people that like it's really not that serious. Like we're all doing it. And if you're not, that's totally fine. But like, you know, like sex positivity isn't just being, you know, like having a bunch of sex. It means supporting people's expression of what that means for them, which can mean being, you know, like not having any sex or having a lot of sex or somewhere in between. And like, it's, you know, like for me, that means just being open with my experiences and like talking about it and like supporting sex workers and like marginalized communities and, you know, like my queer friends. And it's definitely weird, but I feel really grateful that I live in LA where people don't give a fuck if my whole ass is out, you know? So
how do we like approach our sexuality as is now, regardless of what level it's at, where, blah blah blah, how do we approach it sacredly? Like how like let's leave that out, the audience with that. What does that mean to you?
I feel like the first step is admitting or recognizing, honoring that sex is important to you. Like being like, sex is something that's important to me. Expressing my sexuality is something that's important to me. Like putting that on the table. And then saying, I'm going to honor it as sacred. Like, I'm going to take the time to revere it and to cultivate it. Because what do you do when something is important to you? Like, think about like a friendship. Like, if you have a friend who's important to you, you make time for them, you reach out for them, you're there for them as much as they are for you, right? Like, you cultivate this connection, this relationship. So you can do the same thing with your sexual self. Like, you admit that it's something that you want to explore that's important to you, and you recognize that it's something that feels sacred to you. And whatever expression that takes, like, I also, like, I fucking hate when people say that you can't have casual sex and like be a sex witch or practice sacred sex, or that you have to have a penis and a vagina. I'm like, these are inherited stories from people, like you said, who are dead, that like we don't have to continue, and that I choose to not engage with. Like, I've never been in a committed relationship, and I've had a lot of sex, and it's all sacred to me because it's a way for me to know myself and to feel pleasure. So honoring right where you are, and like just knowing that it's sacred, and then finding ways to connect with yourself in that way. So like thinking of what brings you pleasure just in general is a really good way to do that, whether it's through like art or through sound or through nature, and like thinking about how you can incorporate your sexuality into these things that you already have this like pleasure connection with. So like for me, that can mean adorning myself in a certain way before I like masturbate or practice sex magic, or buying myself roses and using a rose to just like touch my skin, or praying to the goddess, or dance, or just like masturbating and allowing it to be exactly what it is, and just like indulging in that. Like, there's no one way to do it. And if you're not at a point where like you feel ready to masturbate or like have sex, like there's no rush. Like, there's so many other ways to like bring that sacredness to your sexual expression, whether it's through like meditation and raising energy through your body, or through breath work, or through just creating art and offering like. But for me, like ritualizing the act of sex, whether it's sex or masturbation, most of my 99% of my sex magic practice at this time in my life is solo. So I work a lot, you know, I practice mostly like solo sex magic. So like ritualizing your masturbation session, whether that's like lighting candles or saying a prayer or wearing something that feels good, or whatever it is to get you into your body and like awaken that sexual energy, like Kundalini yoga or practicing breath work, and like becoming aware of the sexual energy in your body and taking the time to feed it, like watching porn or trying new things or going on dates or like reading about things that turn you on. Like, creativity is such a beautiful part of sexuality, and it's such a beautiful part of magic. And I think it's such a good bridge between the two, whether it's like through creating art or through like going on dates, whatever it is. One of the things that I've done that I invite others to do too is to like, especially if you're single or in a relationship, but to see like your dating life or your sex life as like part of your magical practice. Not that you're necessarily like doing sex magic with people without their consent, but that you're working, you're dating as the part, as a way to meet yourself more in that way, like to meet yourself romantically and sexually, and doing it as an offering to like to the goddess, right? So like for me, like, because your partners are reflect where you are back at you, like they are your mirrors. So like the people that you're attracting, the kinds of relationships you have there, it's again, it's all information that you can use to see where you're at. And I think just like that shift of like having like, okay, like the dates I'm going on, or like my relationship with this person, like that is like an alchemical force. Like that is a part of my sex life. Like I'm going to honor that as a part of my spiritual practice. Like that automatically brings this kind of numinousness, this sacredness to that. And I know for myself, like that has like really using dating as a way to learn about myself has helped make my like sex magic practice a lot deeper. But at the end of the day, the only thing you need, in my opinion, to honor sexuality as sacred is the decision to do it and the time that you take to do that, whatever that means to you. Whether it's, yeah, like I've started taking pole class. Like like for me, that's like honoring the divine masculine, because pole is literally just fucking phallus worship, you know. Like there's a lot of ways to do it, but your intention in this case, in my opinion, is like all the permission you need to do it as such.
I love that. I love it. That's it's a very witchy thing to say, my love. It's very witchy indeed. Thank you so much for coming on the show and taking the time. You are an inspiration, and all my love to you. And I hope that you are able to sell a billion of these books, and that you inseminate the world with billions of new sex priests and priestesses and priestexes. And yes, absolutely.
Thank you for having me. This was
a dream come true. I can now take it off my modern witch bucket list. All All right, thank everybody. You. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break. Okay, so there you have it. That was my episode with Gabriella Hurstick. She is just freaking awesome. She's just a delight. And again, one of my favorite people online to follow. So if you're on Twitter, you should definitely be following her. I will say I had to cut out like almost 40 minutes because we just kept talking and which was great. And normally they put me in the like, do I want this to be a two-parter? But it was actually really juicy. So I decided that instead I was just going to cut it and give it to the Patreon subscribers. Just to let you know, we talk about like losing our virginities. My story's just insane. So that's like a whole thing. But you know, I don't know. I was like, is that public? Is that not public? So I put it behind a little bit of a curtain. So if you want those things, you should definitely check out the Modern Witch Patreon, because they get all the interviews unfiltered. So that might be something to check out if you're into that kind of thing. And again, we get pretty intimate, with the parts that I ended up cutting out. Anyway, thank you to Gabriella Hurstick. Just one of my absolute, again, I love her. I gush over her. She's amazing. Please go check her out. She is somebody who's doing some really cool work. And I think it's just a really wonderful breath of fresh air. So anyway, check her out. Check out modernwitch.com. I will see you next week. We have the amazing Thumper Forge, and we're going to be talking about some, well, you know, it gets weird because it's Thumper. So anyway, all right, we'll see you next week.
There are forces at work here, dark, incomprehensible forces.
Satyrs Incorporated.